Well, as you might have guessed from the last song, I'm going to be talking about healing and time. We all believe in time very strongly. We seem to live in a universe that is controlled by time. And sometimes in this universe of time, we seem to need healing. Unity actually came about because Charles and Myrtle Fillmore seemed to need healing in their time. And they began reading their Bible, looking for inspiration, reading some of the Jesus healing stories. But those are kind of interesting because when you start reading them, a lot of the stories go something like this. Someone sees Jesus, they say, I need a healing. He says, okay, you're healed, and they're healed. It's kind of like that, no time, nothing happens. Not all, but in some of the stories. And so what happens for us is when we find a need for healing, and we pray, and something doesn't happen instantly, we figure we've messed up, that something has gone wrong. But is that actually true? I'm going to share three stories with you today. This is what I call a second try at healing. Jesus and his disciples came to Bethesda. Some people brought a blind man to him and begged Jesus to lay his hands on him and heal him. Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him away from the village. And when he'd put some saliva on the man's eyes, he laid his hands on him and asked the man, can you see now? The man looked up and said, I can see, but the people look like trees moving. So Jesus put his hand on the man again. And the man looked intently, and his sight was restored. And he then saw everything clearly. Then Jesus sent him home, saying, don't go back to the village. Interesting things in the story. As the story opens up, when there's a need for healing, the first thing Jesus does is take the man away from the village, away from where everybody thinks of him as the blind guy. Might be a good thing for us to remember when we're starting to go into our prayers, to take our thoughts away from what seems to be the problem. And then something can happen. And then, of course, the reason I picked this story is it's one of several stories in the Bible where Jesus goes to heal somebody and the healing is partial or delayed. He lays his hands on the man, he prays with the man, says, how's it look? The guy says, well, not too good. If the people look like trees moving, that's not too good. Doesn't discourage Jesus at all, right? It's like, okay, we're doing a healing here. So he prays with the man again. And then the interesting thing is, it says the man looked intently. The man put some effort. I mean, this is a guy who thinks of himself or has thought of himself as blind, okay? But he is now also putting some effort into this active, you know, attempting to use this sight that he's being told is being restored. And as he does that, and as Jesus continues to repeatedly pray, the healing takes place. And then, of course, Jesus does, the story actually ends the same way it begins, with Jesus saying to the man, now, be careful, don't go back into the village. Go to your house, but not to the village. What's the thought in the village when people see him? Oh, there's the blind guy. Don't go back to the old thoughts. Don't go back to those places where those stuck thoughts of limit are there. Because as soon as you go back to the thoughts of limit, as soon as you go back to the old things, whatever was causing the blindness, be it literal blindness or just our inability to see clearly, is likely to return. So he warns the guy to be careful of that. It's a beautiful story. You know, keep out of that old village of those old thoughts. Not a good place to go. So another great story in Luke, short one, says, on the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered one village, 10 lepers approached him. They kept their distance and they called out, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy or compassion on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, as they walked, they were made clean and healed. Like many stories in the Bible, this is probably a somewhat condensed story. Notice in Luke's telling of the story, Jesus doesn't even say you're healed. He just tells him to go see the priest. I would assume he probably said something to the effect of healing toward them. But why the heck would he send him to go see the priest? The local priest would have been the person who they would have needed to get confirmation from that they were healed. And when the priest confirmed that they were healed, then they would be allowed to return to their home or to their village. They wouldn't have to stay in the lepers group. But what's interesting about the story is it says that while they walked on their way to go see the priest is when the healing actually happened. The prayer that started it takes place when they encounter Jesus, when they encounter this person that they associate with this God connection, that they have trust in as able to help them make a God connection and heal. So the God connection is made there in the presence of Jesus, in the presence of that Christ mind. But the actual physical healing, the outpicturing, takes place as they're going to see the priest after they've already left. Seems to happen over time. Interesting, huh? Did that mean the healing wasn't effective because it didn't happen right then? Of course not. It happened exactly perfectly. Again, we have really strong beliefs in time and a lot of thoughts about time. Time is in our minds a lot. We believe we live in a whole universe of time and we seem to be born into time and we seem to weaken and die with the passing of time. Perhaps our faith in time and all of our beliefs about time are one of the things that sometimes gets in the way of our healing and our allowing healing to happen. During most of our lives, we're going to encounter multiple things that seem to call for healing. We'll have an illness, or maybe we'll experience an addiction, or maybe we'll have difficult memories from the past that need healing, or some fear or some resentment. Many things that need healing. Each of these things is actually, if you think about it, an idea caught in our mind. Something stuck in our mind. Something less than whole and perfect. Sitting in our beautiful holy minds. Obstructing our vision. Obstructing our ability to see. To experience. It's important to remind ourselves that we're not just these bodies we see. We are timeless spiritual beings, timeless spiritual beings. And our innate nature is wholeness. That's who and what we are. That is who and what we are. So at times, it is often necessary to actively work at releasing some of those other thoughts, some of those other ideas, those unwhole ideas we've been hanging on to. And as we release the thoughts from our minds, even just for a few minutes or a few moments, as we do that, the healing starts happening. The healing begins to happen. We may make that releasing through a prayer or a meditation or a song or whatever we're doing. But as soon as we step into that awareness, that awareness of the wholeness that's there, we start walking away from the village of blindness and unhealth, that village of the old thoughts. We start moving away from that. And as that happens, as we walk down that road, we're now walking down the road that the men walk down as they're going toward their healing. Maybe the healing's already complete, even if we don't see the results, right? This very instant. It's hard to understand or believe in things that seem to be complete when we can't see them. The Bible tends to use the word faith. Actually, the Greek word that's translated means trust. It doesn't mean faith. It literally means trust. It means trusting in that presence, that source. Trusting in that. Trusting in that we connect with when we pray or sing or meditate or whatever we do. Trusting into those feelings of connection. Because that's usually how it shows up for most of us. Just feelings. We're praying or we're singing. We kind of have this little feeling. And we go, wow, well, that was nice, but that was only a little feeling. That was just a little feeling. I would say that those feelings are reminders of that wholeness and that power and that beauty that's present in us. Those are little reminders. And part of what we get to do is to trust into those feelings. Trust into those feelings. Trust into that sense of connection. Feel it. Walk with it. Move with it. Hold it. Don't go back to the village of doubts. Don't go back to the village of doubts. And as you walk through life, feeling those feelings, trusting into them, walking with them, whatever healing is needed, it's going to naturally happen on its own. It's just going to happen. Sometimes there does seem to be need for physical help in order for a healing to happen. We may go to a doctor or a chiropractor, some alternative practitioner, or get some kind of external treatment. When you do that, I want you to remember that that person who's treating you in whatever way or whatever method they work with, I want you to remember who and what they are. They are a divine spiritual being. They are a divine spiritual being. And whatever technique or whatever they're doing for you, that treatment, is a way of helping you let go of some stuff that was unhealthy in your mind. That treatment is a way of doing that. If you remember that when you are working with doctors or therapists or whomever, if you remember that, then you do two things. You keep yourself open to that healing that's happening through them, and you also support them as the spiritual beings they are in their practice of helping you let go. Let go. So, last story from the Gospel of John. As Jesus walked along, he saw a man who was blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Teacher, who sinned that this man was born blind, him or his parents?" It's one of the interesting places that we would seem to get something about reincarnation, huh? How would you be born blind from your sins if you were born that way? Anyway, Jesus answers, "Neither the man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works could be revealed through him. We must do the works of him who sent me while there is day, illumination, inspiration, light," we might say. "Night is coming and no one can heal when we're in ignorance. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Using the I am name of God. As long as I am in the world, that awareness of that I am presence, I am the light of the world. When he says this, Jesus spits on the ground, makes some mud with the spit and the dirt, and puts it on the man's eyes. And then says, "Now go wash in the pool of Siloam," a healing pool. The man went and did as he was told, and he came back able to see. So, external treatments. Did the combination of spit and dirt, the mud, heal the man's vision? I often joke, this is the "here's mud in your eye," huh? Did the mud heal the man's eye, vision? Did washing in this special healing pool heal the man's eyes? I don't think so. I think these were simply external aids to help the man release this belief, whatever he'd been holding in his mind, that was literally blinding him. External aids to help him release whatever was needed to release in that moment, so that whatever had been blinding him wasn't there anymore. As we move through time, sometimes we all seem to be sick or have problems. If we decide to declare, "I am sick." Well, there's a good affirmation, huh? "I am disabled. I am whatever." What does it do? It strengthens that idea in our mind. So, you know, I will acknowledge that sometimes I'm feeling less than divinely perfect. But I may word it that way. You know, I'm a little bit off. I seem to need some rest right now. I'm not afraid to acknowledge how I'm feeling, but I'm certainly not going to claim and affirm a problem or a situation that I would actually like to let go of. There's no sense in giving more power to an apparent appearance that seems to be causing me trouble. Good thing to keep in mind. So as I consciously release the old thoughts or whatever old thoughts I'm holding in my head, move out of that old village, release the thoughts about myself, release the thoughts about others too. Some of the biggest healing experiences that I've had and my friends have come from releasing thoughts about other people. We'll talk about that on another Sunday. But as we release those thoughts, we begin to open up to accept the truth of the wholeness of us and them. And as we prayerfully affirm our wholeness, our divine nature, including things like the intelligence and the life that's present inside these bodies, tremendous intelligence and life and energy present inside these bodies as well as in our minds. As we do that, we begin to move away from that village of fear and sickness and down that path that leads toward finding ourselves whole and perfect. Whole and perfect. We can feel it inside first, but we have to trust those feelings and walk with them. We often remind people that Unity got started when Myrtle Fillmore spent 2 years healing her body. She began by apologizing to her body for calling it weak and sick, organ by organ, and more than once, apologizing for all the things she'd said about it, and then affirming that there was strength and intelligence and order and life present throughout this body. And as she persisted over time, as she changed her mind, and as she learned to walk with those new thoughts in her mind, her body and many other things began to respond. Many things began to respond. Her husband, seeing what had happened, like a good wise man, paid attention, began working with prayer and meditation. Eventually, well, actually early on, found that he was getting relief from the chronic pain that had been going on in a deteriorated hip and leg. And then found that as he worked with it over time, the leg continued to get strength and actually to grow. Now the question is, did it actually take time for Charles and Myrtle Fillmore to heal? Did it actually take time? Or was the time, did it just seem that it took time for them to actually change their minds? Was the apparent time simply the time that it seemed to take for them to change their minds about themselves, maybe others, and allow some new thoughts to show up? Once saw a little comment from Albert Einstein, scientist, where he commented that both time and space are what he called persistent illusions. Persistent illusions. The spiritual teacher Eckhart Tolle reminds us that the only time there is now. The eternal now. And that in that now, there's tremendous power, tremendous creative potential. Of Course in Miracles makes a comment. It says, "You are no more a slave to time than to the world that you made. For time you made, and time you can command." It speaks of what it calls holy instants, moments that seem to be outside of time. Some of you know exactly what that means. Little seems like a brief moment, but there's a moment that seems to happen outside of time. And in that moment, some awareness, some experience happens that awakens us to who and what we are. And then it's over and we're back thinking we're these people again. But those are the instants in which the healing begins, sometimes in which the whole healing has happened. And it's simply holding to that and walking with that that allows the rest of the healing to show up. Just like when Jesus prayed with the man and said, "Now go your way," and as they went their way, the healing showed up. In those sacred moments, healing happens not because we've fixed something in us, and not because we have somehow cajoled God into fixing something in us. Healing happens because we have reconnected, at least briefly, with the wholeness and the life that's always been present in us. Always there. Hasn't gone anywhere. And we've managed to connect with it in that moment. And in that moment, things shift. Things shift. So I'm going to leave us with a little healing affirmation to work with this week. It simply says, my healing is here with me now. In this very moment, I am whole. Let's share that together. Together we say, my healing is here with me now. In this very moment, I am whole. It's pretty good. Take a second. Let's say that again. Together. My healing is here with me now. In this very moment, I am whole. That's good. One more time. My healing is here with me now. In this very moment, I am whole. Close your eyes and let that settle in. It is actually probably the truest thing any one of us has said all morning long. My healing is here with me now. It's already here. I don't have to wait for it. It's already here. In this very moment, wholeness, intelligence, life, power, everything necessary is here with me now. Right now. And 5 minutes from now, it'll be here with me now. And 2 days from now, my wholeness will be here with me now, wherever we are, wherever we are. Wherever we might seem to be, whatever might seem to be the situation, whatever appearance may seem to come back to us in the mirror, we can remember in each moment, my healing is here with me now. My healing is here with me now. It's already here. It's always here. It always has been. It always has been. In this and every moment, I am the sacred name of God. In this and every moment, I am whole. I am whole. I am. So we breathe into that a couple times. And then we open our eyes once again and share the affirmation. Together we say, my healing is here with me now. In this very moment, I am whole. One more time. My healing is here with me now. In this very moment, I am whole. And so it is. Amen.